No, it's sunny here.
What did you expect for the Salt River Valley?
No, but I mean, sun's up, and it's weird. It's just, you guys go on daylight savings time, Karen, and we don't, and yet I have to make all these adjustments. It's crazy.
Let me tell you, I didn't adjust yesterday morning. I told my granddaughter that she was to be at the church at 8:25, because she's always late. 8:30 was our assigned time to be there. We were going to practice some music. Well, guess what? Karen Eastwood forgot to get up an hour early.
Oh, no.
And my granddaughter called me when I was still in my pajamas. If you
know,
I wasn't upset.
Oh.
Ooh, I had to eat a lot of crow.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. And who else has called in really just recently? And I'll change these chimes, even though they are nice and quiet now.
Good morning. This is Margaret.
Well, good morning, Margaret. Glad to have you on the call. I had to send a message that when I'm trying to... When I go to change the chimes, I already know they're on. They don't need to tell me. I have to push a button to get it, turn them off. All right. Good morning, everyone. We hope that you've had a really nice weekend and that you stayed on your program and you're feeling great this morning. And so we're going to, today we're going to look a little bit at how our body language and what it teaches us. Before we start that, before I start even the question I want to ask you, is anyone have any special report or question or anything that they would like to have covered or any report that you would like to report? Speak up quickly. Okay. So, body language, the first question I have is as you're listening to your body to know when it's being treated properly and it's speaking with you, how will you know what it's saying or when it's really speaking to you if you haven't been on a consistent pattern? And so I especially noticed this last night when I forgot to exercise before I went to go to bed. And I could tell a difference in what my body was saying to me. I had to go get up and go exercise before I could really go to sleep very well. Then that made me much better. And I'm going to discuss what my body says to me, but I guess I'm not very transparent. Okay, so I'll tell you. So sometimes I have an irregular heartbeat, and I think it has to do with my blood sugar, probably. And so... when I get up and go exercise, and do that on a regular basis, and every time when I exercise, I never have that problem. And you'd think it would be make it worse or something, but it doesn't. I really have to do that every night before I go to sleep. Well, before I had the habit of doing that, I didn't know what my body was saying I had done wrong. But now that I have the habit of it, I can really tell. And anytime, I'm going to just pause just about 2 seconds in between when I'm saying everything. So if you have a chance to jump in there and tell me you want to say something. Otherwise, I'm not going to pause very long. But I do like having discussions. Let's go ahead and here's our pattern right here. 10 points. The other pattern, of course, is what we eat. And so how will you know it's causing the problem if you don't have a set pattern? And we're suggesting that the set pattern is, Kathy Abascal's got it right, that that you go for 3 weeks following a pattern in what you eat, what you do eat and what you don't eat. And I'm going to go onto our acid alkaline chart, and I'm going to put a little star on the things that I have on the chart that are on the things that may be eaten freely. on the 3 weeks, during the 3 weeks. I am not going to be able to, I don't know how, if I'll be able to do something with the ones that you are not to eat. I might be able to put something else there about the ones that we aren't to eat. I would think that would be helpful. And about all the different kinds of wheat there are, either. There's some charts in here that maybe I can be able to put on the website. But anyway, won't be done today or tomorrow, probably. See you later. Okay, so then what happens after? So let's just pretend that we've been on the elimination phase for 3 weeks, and now the problems that you have been feeling, and also you're going to have to be following these things that are on the chart. You're going to have to be drinking your water. You're going to have to be getting your sleep. I don't know sometimes if we have the control over how long we sleep. I certainly don't. But I know that I can make myself go to bed at a certain time, so I have the time to be able to sleep. I just seem to get, I think I go into deep sleep really fast, and so I sleep, 5 hours is really good. Six or seven is better, but if I get five, I'm good. And pretty much for all day, sometimes with a nap. Anyway, and then if I do my exercise, I have my nutritionals, and I eat my three meals and my two snacks. Sometimes my snacks are very little because following all this, I don't get all that hungry either, especially by adding, this is another listening to the body, is if I have the fat, the avocado or whatever I have, it's just avocado and coconut oil is what I've added to my body. My body has told me that that's been really good because I have fewer itchy spots or less dry skin. Anyway, that's listening to the body. Okay. I didn't even write these on this list. I forgot these little things moved around on here. If you're looking at our slide, we have a picture of a body, a guy, I guess. All you can see is his knuckles. And he has a heart, have the heart function and the brain dysfunction or function, breathing, cells, digestion, elimination, spine problems. And over here we have body language. Pay attention to these body language, and we may think of some others that we want to put on. Can't think of too many here, I won't be able to put them. Okay, so now I've reorganized them kind of from when I first put it on here to the ones I thought were most common to the ones that are less common but more dangerous probably. And so see if you notice if any of these, and they are headaches, joints, and spinal discomfort. And I think that the different things we do, you get different ones of these, your body talking to you, you might have those. I hear people talking about those probably as much frequently as, so some of these, I don't know which ones are most often. The second one is fatigue. And people just say, I'm so tired, and they don't think that, oh, that's normal. Well, no, that's not normal. If you've been doing all the things right, you probably have lots of energy. And then we have digestion problems. And I think this one's, with me anyway, is a lot of times related to stress. I should not eat when I'm going to go give a talk or something. I don't want to.
78, stop.
Somebody is saying something, I can't tell what you're saying. Sounds like you're talking under the water. Okay. Blood sugar problem. Some of the symptoms is my blood sugar bounces down, and then I'm fatigued, or I guess this is really a cause, not maybe not a symptom, but I haven't eaten correctly, I'm under stress, my blood sugar will drop. I don't have any idea what blood sugar problems you might notice when your blood sugar is high. Maybe somebody can help me out with that. Do you notice something?
Fatigue. No energy.
The same one? That's a low blood sugar you get for a high blood sugar.
Yeah, I know. No, same way.
Okay.
When my blood sugar gets real high, I get fatigued, tired, lethargic.
I also get headaches.
I get headaches. This is Chaya in New York. I get headaches. And I have heart palpitations.
Yes, I do too. Yeah. Okay. Good. Thanks, Kaya.
What about the weak legs and I have had that. I mean, where I'm afraid my legs won't even be able to hold me up.
Likely.
And I don't know if that's high or low. I thought it was low blood sugar.
Yes, I have it too, Mary Lou. Especially if I've been lying down, it feels like my legs are full of fluid or something. They sort of almost hurt, like a burn.
Yeah. Monty, Monty was going to add to that.
Monty? Yeah, I get that way with low blood sugar.
Okay.
Get sweaty and feel like I don't have the strength to move my body.
Right.
And it gets real low sometimes on me, so.
Dennis, bring me a bolt protein drink. I can't get up. That must be pretty low. Okay, I haven't had that for a long time. I forgot about it.
You know, Ruth, talking about blood sugar, if I may, you know, one of the things, I have to do being in the situation that I have on the diabetic side, you know, I have to check my blood at least a minimum of 2 times a day. I was just thinking, and I thought I read it someplace, that, you know, even people that feel like they have low blood sugar, high blood sugar, but don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can, I guess what I suggest is that go to the pharmacy, buy the cheapest, you don't need one with all the buzz, whistles, and whatever, but just get a little, they're in about $20-some. It's a blood meter machine. Get some stick, what they call sticks, and check your blood when you have those type of situations. I know in most cases, if you're diabetic, you can get a prescription from your doctor, but maybe even talk to your doctor and get a prescription for that type of thing, because that's one way of making sure if you feel you have low blood sugar, high blood sugar, and you want to know what your body's really telling you, that would be one thing of one way of knowing that you have whatever situation you think you have.
That's such a good suggestion. I'm glad you made it. I've been thinking about doing that lately because, you know, sometimes you just don't know for sure. Your body's talking to you and you don't even, and that would be a quick way to find out.
I think that's a great idea, too. In fact, I've seen every once in a while they'll have a commercial on TV and they'll say, call here for a free one. I wondered what the connection is there, what they, you know, you don't get anything for free.
This is Donna. You know what I did? Because I wasn't too sure what was going on with myself, because my heart was okay and my lungs were okay, but I also monitor my blood sugar because I'm a diabetic, but I also bought a pulse oxygen thing, you know, put on your finger, and it takes your pulse and your oxygen, and you can see what it is. And that's what I use.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Uh-huh. And they're only about $37. I got mine at Walmart.
All right. Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome.
Dennis has one around here. Once in a while, he'll be checking his. He doesn't do that very often now, but he'll bring it and stick it on my finger. One thing I've always got
is
oxygen.
It's interesting to see how it works, isn't it?
Amazing. Technology is pretty good that way. That's one thing that our medical, we have some good things like that. I like that one Mary Lou's talking about, that finger pricker. It sounds like it doesn't take very much blood in it, so it doesn't hurt very much.
Yeah.
that's probably what made me start thinking about it, too.
Me, too.
Okay. breathing problems. I don't know. I haven't had any experience with breathing problems. Does anybody have anything to add about that? I'm thinking about asthma. Some people get asthma easily, and I know that there are certain things that they do that trigger that. And so if somebody else has any knowledge of that, I'd like them to speak up because I don't.
Well, I have asthma. This is Donna again. And I use the back flex on my chest right below my collarbone. And a lot of times I won't have to use my inhaler. And the other thing that works really good is the Power Mag. And also this new Power Chip, that works good too. Put it underneath your collarbone, and that helps a lot.
Wow.
Or at least for me it does.
Good. Thank you. Okay, now I want to know what triggers it. You know, your body's speaking to you and telling you. Now, what did it say that you shouldn't be doing or should be doing?
Well, mine's triggered by, from working in an office building that was a sick building. I have chemical sensitivities. Anything that has any scent to it triggers my asthma. And I'm hoping by working with this program, I hope it'll get better or go away totally.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions?
Anybody have any suggestions? I know that there, let's see, mostly it's wear the magnets all the time. It's the things we've heard over the period of time. I know that, Mary Helen Dean, who has been on our program, our Wednesday caller before, Wednesday speaker, she has a little boy who had asthma. And he was small, and he liked to play sports. But if he played sports, then he would get asthma. But if he had, she finally put the face mask on him, kind of with a, like a bra. And he was embarrassed to wear it, but then he would get asthma, and so he just wore it anyway. And he just put it, I guess, under his shirt or something, and as long as he was wearing that, he never had any asthma. He was wearing that for years, I think, wasn't he, Mary Lou?
Yes, absolutely.
And I've heard of things like that with people, either on the back, they can put them on their back, I suppose it works differently for different people, or the things like Donna said, on the chest somewhere, wherever it works best for you.
And the other thing I do at night, I sleep, this may sound crazy, but I sleep with a back flex on my chest every night.
Good. Now, along with that, might talk about a little bit the sinus problem, because wearing a mask or wearing the magnets, if some of us get some sinus, I have not on this program. Yeah, I hadn't noticed. I'm missing some things that I would put clogged up a lot more at night. But I can put magnets of some sort over my eyes, and I think you can actually feel your nose clearing out with that. So I always thought that was pretty amazing. Anyone else? Okay. Dry and itching skin. I mentioned a little bit earlier that since I've been on the program and adding the fat, good fat, more back into my diet, that I have much less itching skin. I have a spot in the palm of my right hand, and I was thinking it was because I run the mouth so much that I have that spot, but amazingly, since I've been eating some of the avocado almost every day, it's not even a whole one every day, but usually about a half, my hand is almost cleared up. So, isn't that amazing? And our body, and especially our brain needs that good fat to operate properly. Our brain is most of it fat. I don't know, there's a certain percentage. I don't remember it off the top of my head.
This is Kathleen.
Kathleen, yes.
I have asthma, and I did stop asthmatic attacks by putting Backflex on my chest and didn't have to go to the emergency room. And I got to where I just pop the mini in each side of my bra every day, and I wear those every day. And I am not taking two inhalers four times a day for the rest of my life. I don't do it at all.
Thank you, Kathleen. Very helpful.
This is Chaya. I find that if I eat too much sugar and I don't exercise, so sometimes I have a really hard time going to sleep. And I'm new, so I haven't bought the sleep system yet. I take my insoles. And I put it on a pillow under my legs, and I have the, and then I take a mini and I put it under my pillow, under my collarbone, and I have the best sleep when I remember to do that.
Oh, thank you, Haya.
Great idea.
Yeah.
I'm suffering from all of this that's on the chart right now. This is Kathleen, and I'm just struggling. And I think maybe it's I have a lot of stress, and I'm not exercising enough. But I don't know what else.
Well, that exercise helps with stress so much, Kathleen. Just, you know, and I'm not talking about a lot. I'm
a little.
How long I exercise. I have that little trampoline thing. And if I jump on that last night, usually I count when I'm jumping, because a long time ago I used to use a jump rope. And I would just go and jump rope 100 jumps. And so I try to do 25 running on there, just 25, count to 25 when my left foot hits it, just however. And then I do 50 twists, so I have 100 jumps. So last night I just kept running and running, and I went probably about 200 or 300, so I went to about 250. Because usually after I get off on there, I do something else. So I wasn't planning to do that. I want to go back to sleep. But that takes me like 3 minutes.
I have one of those too, and I love to use it. And then I have to take it out of the house and put it in the garage for a while, once in a while. So it has to come back in today.
Oh, okay.
This is Kaya. I walk on the boardwalk, and that, you know, if it's a nice day, there's so many people walking, it's almost like a social event. I used to have a friend of mine who would come walk with me. And I got a heel spur, so now I'm trying some other things so I can walk again.
You be sure to get yourself on the osteo then for the bone health pack.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
And the mag steps in your shoes.
Right.
I have that.
Good.
That.
Okay, so now when I'm gone from home, I don't carry that little trampoline everywhere I go. In the hotel, I jump and twist just wherever I am. I do jumping jacks.
On the beds?
Don't do that. Pardon me?
On the beds?
No, not on the bed.
Think of the like little kids.
That's a thought. Maybe I'll try that.
Well, you just said wherever you are when you go to the hotel. It made me think of that. Sorry.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm on the floor. Jumping jacks, do the twist. I don't bother with the music, but because sometimes I sing, but that's too hard for me to jump and sing at the same time. I'm not coordinated enough. Anyway, so those are a couple of things that you don't have to have any gear. You still do it, but just do it for at least count to 100. And when I haven't done it for a long time, I don't always get to 100, but with the different things. And, of course, when I'm running or jumping, I'm also doing my arms. I don't want to have my arms get all flabby or something, and so I do my arms as well. All different kinds of things with them, whatever. Just hold them up and move them around. Whatever you're going to do. Okay.
So this is Chaya. Does anybody get Charlie horses in the middle of the night where they have to wake up and it hurts bad? And
actually, I did before I started this program, and I haven't been. Do the exercise before you go to bed. That's one of the things that helps. Get enough water early in the day. A lot of that is your body yelling for more water. Anybody else?
That's also a classic sign of low magnesium. We should be getting at least half of what we take in calcium for magnesium, but most doctors don't tell people that.
They sure don't. Thank you, Nancy.
The other thing is, if you get a Charlie horse, you have a back flex or a magnet, lay it on it, and it will immediately go away.
Well, yeah. You can't leave. When you have these bad Charlie horses, you cannot sit or lay down. You got to move. It's so painful. And especially if it wakes you up out of the sleep. Oh, my God.
Well, that's what happened to my husband, and he puts a back flex on it.
It can also be low potassium, those two things together. So if you eat a banana, sometimes that helps. kind of in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a book, The Miracle of Magnesium, by Dr. Carolyn Dean. She's an MD. It's a wonderful book. It tells you there are over 250 enzymatic processes where the body needs magnesium in order to perform those. And she tells all about that in her book.
Mm. I used to take magnesium and calcium, but I would take them before I go to sleep without any food, and then I had a really bad infection in my intestinal tract, and I was told don't take it without food. But in the daytime, if I take magnesium or calcium, I want to go to sleep. I don't take it. Does anybody have a suggestion? Is there a formula that is good and won't put me to sleep?
Probably would be good to take it with your evening meal, I would think.
Okay.
I do. I take both magnesium and potassium regularly. Trying to balance those minerals has been tricky for me. But with it changing in the diet, maybe it seems to me that maybe some having the sugar gone, and of course the wheat's all gone. I don't have the wheat either. But just taking one in the morning, one potassium in the morning, one at night, and one extra magnesium. Actually, I think I stopped taking I have my magnesium. I still have one magnesium in the morning and at night also with my bone health product also. And I'm running smoothly now. And I was having a really bad time getting that balance, and I did have a leg cramp regularly. Now I don't have any at all, unless I did something wrong. But then my body will speak to me again. Excuse me.
Yeah. I'm still looking for that magic formula. And you just take in a pill, and then you don't have to exercise. It'll be good.
That won't work. My body wants some exercise.
Yeah.
That exercise is just one of the most important ones, I think. A lot of people think it is the most important thing. But I think you gotta get out there and stride. I don't know if you can go that fast on the boardwalk.
I think it's critical, and that makes me think when you said stride about Kathy Abascal saying, oh, you can't just drink green smoothies in the morning. You have to work the jaws. You have to chew. There's a lot to that. The movement of the body and making all these things work, isn't there?
There is. I'm still going to have my smoothie, usually at noon. Or for a snack. Love those smoothies.
Me too.
One of those things is that, speaking of that, is if you haven't got very terrific digestion, which I know that's one of my challenges, is having a smoothie, then I can be more sure that I'm going to have more absorption, which is a key factor. Well, we better move along here. Brain sluggish. Definitely I run into that more often than I'd like. I guess all of these things that we're talking about are causes. Okay, I want to mention the above waist oversize. Oversize above the waist. Something, however. This is a really big warning. And this is not something that just hurts or whatever, but it is one of the prime things that says you're going to have a heart attack. That you're ripe, I guess you'd say you're ripe for a heart attack if that you're carrying a lot of weight above your waist. Blood clots or clogged artery report. Either one of those are really, really big warnings that they're just danger. All of these signs are a danger. You're going the wrong direction. You've got to make changes. We've got to make changes. I should not put that in second person there. We've got to make changes.
Yeah, I could tell you something about blood clots. You don't get them unless you have a predisposition to them. I suffer from an autoimmune disease which makes you have blood clots. And I've been living with it for 11 years, and I still haven't had a blood clot.
and I'm predisposed to it. So you have to have a predisposition for blood clots. You have to test positive for it. It's a certain test that you can take. So I don't know if blood clots come under the same heading. Because, yeah, I think you have to have a predisposition to it.
I don't know. You know, I just don't know. I have never heard that before. And I don't know. I think that there are a lot of things you can do, whether you would have a predisposition or not, to prevent having blood clots. Maybe not 100%, but I'm sure that if you did have a predisposition for it, that you could lower that ratio. Number one, I think, is a thing to do is drink more water. Drink water consistently.
Mm.
And so have good water and then get off the junk. And if you have those waist, that waist oversize above your waistline, that's a really very, very dangerous warning. Okay.
Ruth, I read just recently that when a person, and I think I've said this before on the call, but when a person will drink water in the evening, now see, a lot of us have a tendency not to want to drink water in the evening because we don't want to have to wake up a lot during the night, but it said that when you drink water in the evening, it will make you less prone to having a stroke or a heart attack. So you know what? I drink water in the evening. In fact, I drink 2 glasses of it about 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Wow. You know, and I'm one of those that doesn't want to drink too much before I go to bed. So I've been just having some sips, just swallows. I drink a little bit, and then pretty soon I'll drink a lot. I just drink a whole glassful at one time. And that sounds like what you can do. But since I'm having a sleeping problem, kind of, then I just drink it. And then I also take some and put beside my bed. So if I wake up, I can have another drink. So there's 2 different choices for you there. I guess 3, not drink any at all. Okay, so this is the slide that we've had for our presentation on water. And it's a lot of different things that happens and what happens to you when you're not drinking enough. But we're not going to have time to cover this today, but that's okay because we have covered it quite a bit on calls, and we'll probably cover it again on calls in the future. Since we have such revolutionary, wonderful pH 8.5 to 9.5 water, and it tastes so good in a squirt bottle. So that's it for the call today, but if you have any comments or questions before we close, open for that right now.
I have a question about the sports bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Can you take it with you? That's something that you should have it if you have a water system at home, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question, too. Ruth, you were saying you take magnesium. Do you take extra magnesium? Because it's in the Caldense, but you take more than that?
I do.
Okay.
Just have to listen to you, do it, and then listen to your body.
Okay.
Okay, everyone have a great day, and we'll be talking with you tomorrow. Maybe some of you all will be talking to you sooner. So thanks for being on the call with us. Enjoyed all your comments and questions and help. And so have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ruth.
You're welcome.